Welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I am one of your hosts, Allison with a Y, here with Patrick.
Hello.
And Allison with an I.
Hey.
And this week is my pick. I picked Cobweb, and I think it's like fairly new-ish on Netflix. It's a movie from 2023, and Cobweb follows a shy young boy named Peter who begins to hear the voice of a young girl inside his bedroom wall the week before Halloween. Peter's parents, Carol and Mark, are played by Lizzie Kaplan and Anthony Starr from The Boys. They don't believe Peter's story about what he's been hearing, but they're also extremely overprotective of him, in part because a girl in their neighborhood disappeared while trick-or-treating several years ago. Peter must figure out the source of the apparent haunting in his house, even as his parents insist that he is the problem. Right off the bat, great cast.
Oh, yeah. I love Lizzie Kaplan. I love Anthony Starr.
I didn't know him from anything, but he was Outlander?
Homelander.
There we go. We found it. Homelander, yeah. Which I never saw, but a bunch of people in Reddit referred to him as such.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you to watch The Boys because it's kind of just a documentary at this point. But he plays like the most mentally unstable fascist superhero imaginable. Okay. And he's such a good villain. And so early in this, I was like, whoa, it's weird seeing him actually play a normal person for once. And then he turned out to basically just be the same kind of unstable guy that he is in The Boys. So
yeah, I can't have any more fascism in my life.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What made you pick this movie? Why?
I was interested in the premise. I love a good spooky sounds in a house kind of premise. Generally that, indicates a ghost story a lot of the time. And I saw that Lizzie Kaplan was in it, and I was like, hell yeah, let's go.
It has some Halloween energy. We are officially into spooky season, and I think this has, I don't know if I would say big Halloween energy, but it has some Halloween energy.
It literally takes place during Halloween.
Yeah.
Which true.
I didn't know going into it.
True.
I wondered if you knew that or not, because the opening kind of shot is 1 week before Halloween. I was like, oh, perfect.
Yeah, when that came up, I was like, oh, the ideal, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I realized as I was watching this movie that I had seen it before.
Really?
Yes.
When did you see it?
I don't know how long it's been on Netflix, but I'm guessing it had to have been there.
Okay.
Maybe within the last like year. I don't. Okay. Do movies stay on Netflix for longer than a year?
Sometimes. I guess longer. I would say usually not, unless it's a Netflix film, but sometimes it's so unpredictable.
Yeah, I did that whole, like, have I seen this? No, I don't think so. Have I seen this? Wait, okay, I've seen this.
Yeah. Like, what was your memory of it?
No memory.
None. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Love it when that happens.
Yeah, none. So, yeah, more on that, I guess, later. But, good Halloween spooky season movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, one of the most interesting things to me about this movie, no, actually, I'm just going to go back to the most interesting thing about this movie, is that this script made the blacklist in 2018. Are you guys familiar with the blacklist in like the context of the film industry?
No.
Nope.
It's a semi-big deal every year, and I actually don't know who does it, but somebody pulls a whole bunch of Hollywood people on what are the best unproduced screenplays that you've read this year, and then they put out what they call the blacklist, which is this list of what people consider the best unproduced screenplays. And some of like incredible movies have come off that list over the years, because eventually like the blacklist is a launching pad where it gets that screenplay some more exposure, and so a lot of the time the movies do end up getting made after making the blacklist. But some incredible movies have been made from the blacklist. and
that's cool.
This was on it, and I found that very intriguing.
I'm gonna see that Blacklist.
It's out there. You can go back over the years and find the different ones. I want to say, like, I mean, there are some huge movies that have come off of that. I want to say, like, Juno was a Blacklist movie. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure. Anyways, this is going to be one of those ones that's hard to fucking talk about.
Yep.
Like, I feel like our pre-spoiler room segment today is going to be short, because let's just say that whatever you're guessing is going on is not what's going on.
They are very good at throwing some red herrings in there. I will say that. I thought I knew what the movie was going to be, and then with like a half hour left, I was like, oh no, this is not going to be what I thought it was going to be.
But also is kind of what it was going to be.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk more about that, but yes.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I don't know about y'all, but my assumption was we were dealing with some kind of ghost thing. You know, there's a ghost girl in this like haunted house type of situation. Long story short, that is not at all what you're dealing with. We won't tell you what yet, but
yeah,
it goes places.
Yeah.
Bold
choices.
Did you get Weapons vibes from this?
Yes, I did think about Weapons.
Yeah, me too.
Just in the sense that, like, you know, there's this kid who went missing in their neighborhood, and there's some degree of, like, you know, trauma or ongoing, like, community processing, I guess, of that having happened. So, yeah, I definitely thought
of Weapons. And his teacher gets involved, and there's one scene where she goes to the classroom, and he's the only kid sitting there because he doesn't want to go to recess. I was like, whoa, this is eerily similar.
Interesting.
Well, and very tenacious teacher who's, like, showing up at the kid's house. Yeah, actually, that's true. There's a lot of kind of
parallel. Like, almost frame for frame a couple of times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will say I thought Weapons was a lot more interesting.
Oh, yes. One sort of twist, I guess, that I feel like we can discuss, but I guess it's not even really a twist, because why it was clear to you early on what was going on. And I mean, I still think even if you missed it like I did, it's pretty clear. But the parents are not good people.
Yeah.
Understatement. Yeah.
Yeah. I briefly was like, oh, like Lizzie Kaplan seems like she's a good mom, like helping him through like learning piano and like whatever he heard in the middle of the night. And Anthony Starr, like I said, I briefly was like, oh, it's weird seeing him play like kind of a normal person. And in retrospect, I'm almost not quite sure how I read it that way, because they are like fucked up.
I think you specifically said, oh, it's weird to see him not play a psychopath.
Yes.
And I was like, just wait on that.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, for the first 10 minutes or so, 15 maybe, we're supposed to think that they're good parents. And they acted that well enough where it was ambiguous, right?
Really? Like,
Well,
because they're good actors. Well, No. I think that, let me say this differently. We're supposed to think that they're good parents.
Okay.
I didn't get that at all.
Really? She's teaching him piano. There was a couple moments where she was like, curl your fingers, curl your fingers. And me, being a mom who taught my daughter piano forever, was like, I've been there. I've done that. You know, you have to correct their form. This Suzuki method, whatever she's doing. And then there was some weirdness, but it was subtle. And then it was a lot. But it was subtle in that she was like, you know, well, let me hear what you're hearing, because he's hearing knocking at the wall, and then she listens. But I think you weren't reading that wrong, Patrick. I think that, yeah, no.
I feel less crazy now, because that was, and also she handles his first encounter with the voice in the wall, I thought, pretty well. I forget
what she does exactly.
But I was like, okay, like you're not telling your kid that he's crazy, at least.
Yeah.
And then
she listens at the wall too. She's empathetic.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating read. Immediately, she sent my spidey senses tingling. She was giving me, like, pod person, Stepford wife, other mother vibes from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely went there for me. That just wasn't how I read it right off the bat. It did not take long for me to be like, oh, okay, this is definitely fucked up.
I feel like why you might have a preternatural ability to see dynamics between kids and their parents, though, given your line of work, or that you're just very maternal. I hope that's okay that I say, but I get.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you have that ability. So
maybe she just, I thought she was fucking weird from the beginning. And I thought that was like an obvious read, but yeah, apparently it's not, because it's, I don't think necessarily the two of you were wrong in thinking that, but it's just like, I had such a different read from her from the beginning.
And I think that's what they were going for, was that mm-hmm. we could, it could be interpreted, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it didn't last long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because like her kind of explicit actions or how she handles some situations soon enough make it very obvious.
Yeah. Patrick, what was the moment that you clued in that the parents were weird?
I actually don't remember.
Mine was at the dinner table when they started talking about Halloween.
Oh, yes. Yeah, when they're like being very overbearing. I think that's the first moment where they're being like overbearing about a simple thing, which is that the kid wants to trick or treat.
Mm-hmm. And then they tell him the story of the girl who went missing. And
yeah. And it's not just like, oh, no, son, like, you know, that might not be safe, but it's just like weird vibes. And it's like, son, you are weird for wanting to do this. Reminded me of my own parents.
Yeah.
But, sorry. You know, you know what?
Should we unpack that?
It's okay. No, we do not need to unpack that. We do not have enough time to unpack that. We do not have enough days to unpack that.
We've been unpacking it during the course of our relationship, and it still hasn't and been fully
done.
Unpacked.
Yeah, we're not done. But no, I want to give big props to both these two. And I mean, actually, the young actor who plays the little boy, Peter, is very solid as child actors go. But I want to particularly give props to Lizzie Kaplan and Anthony Starr. Killed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Starr kind of playing, again, as I said, like a character I'm familiar with seeing him play, which is just a fucking like control freak sociopath. But Lizzie, I don't know that I've ever seen her play just like a bad character,
an antagonist.
I just don't know that I've seen her play an antagonist, period. And she was great. And especially because I think her performance is a little more like modulated or subtle than mm-hmm. Starr's. Like his is a little more just openly hostile and fucked up. And hers has a little more shading to it and does have some of that like Stepford wife-ness that you mentioned in the way that she carries herself. I thought they both nailed it, and particularly her, I thought it was just calibrated in a really nice way that felt fairly original, actually. You know, like his performance, I was like, okay, I've seen you do this before, but her, I was like, I haven't seen you do this before, and also this feels a little fresh to me just in general.
Yeah, I've never seen Lizzie Kaplan play a character like this. Normally, she's like, she plays like a pretty cool character, pretty loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
I have never really seen her play a control freak before. Mm. She's always kind of like super cool. And yeah, like this was such a departure, and she handled it really well. And in a way that it was definitely like character acting, but it wasn't over the top in a way that I think it could very easily become for
yes.
that kind of character.
Yeah. It wasn't camp. And I mean, no. I wouldn't have minded if it was camp, actually. That would have been fun too. But, you know, it still feels like a real person, even though, yeah, she's throwing in a little bit of these notes that play a little more towards the heightened realism mm-hmm. kind of side of things, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
It made me uncomfortable.
In like the right way or a bad way?
I guess in the right way. I think when I started to slowly realize that I had seen this movie before, I was like, oh yeah, they're doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost felt like if I were watching it for the first time, I can't remember what I thought. So I'll pretend this was the first time because I truly didn't remember much about it. I almost felt like they were like stuck in time, like she particularly, like transatlantic, like very much like a old timey.
Yeah.
The way she dressed, the way she spoke, you know, like it was giving like the Others vibe for me or something.
Yeah,
you know,
I get that. Yeah,
but I really do like her. I don't know that I like her in this. This isn't my favorite way to watch her act, I guess.
I like her
the other way a bit better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But I still think for a character I've never really seen her play, I enjoyed it. She did what she needed to do for me, which was to make me very unnerved and very uncomfortable with her character. Mm-hmm. And I liked that.
Yeah. Agreed.
This isn't getting into any twist territory. I liked the teacher a mm-hmm. lot.
Yeah. Ms. Divine.
And I like the role because she's just like a substitute teacher, but she takes, you know, she sees that Peter's an outsider. And so she takes kind of like special interest and care in him. And I really liked that. I don't know. I kind of like those kind of subplots and films. And they feel very realistic because I think as somebody who spends a lot of time with kids, there are kids that you kind of become a little bit more attached to and you bond with a little bit more, or you kind of take special care of because you see that they're a bit of an outsider and you really feel for them. And I thought it was a good representation of that. And I don't know. It was also good to see somebody who seemed like they genuinely cared for Peter. You know, he seemed like a sweet kid for the most part. I mean, there's some things that happens that, you know, but he's just a little kid.
I know.
He's
a sweet
second
kid.
Grader. Like, come on.
Why? Remind me if you saw Weapons.
I did not see Weapons.
Okay. Because Julia Garner's character is very much similar. Patrick mentioned it earlier. But yeah, I love that teacher-student, like, I guess, trope. But mm-hmm. it is super heartwarming, especially as a mom, like, you know, and a like deep, deep, deep appreciator of teachers. They do shit like this. Mm-hmm. They're tasked with it. She was a really lovable character, Miss Divine.
She was, yeah.
And a badass bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did either of you see the twist coming for what it was?
Fuck no. Fuck
you didn't?
No.
No. Not at all.
This is, yeah, like I said at the top of this, this twist is so fucking unhinged to me. I mean, like, a lot of it is rooted in shit you have seen in other movies, but it's like different pieces of stuff cobbled together in such a bizarre way that did not work for me. Yeah, I'm still almost kind of reeling from where this ended up going. It sounds like you did anticipate it a little bit, though.
Well, it's because I had seen it before.
Well, yeah, but yeah, and I guess you don't have a memory of whether you anticipated it the first time or not.
I don't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me, I'll say that.
Huh. Yeah, it completely surprised me. It wasn't until like a very specific thing happened and I was like, there's too much movie left for this to be like for this to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into, I think we should just get to the spoiler room soon because I kind of really want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it really, like, I was like kind of reeling in my head. I was like, wait, where the hell is this going now?
Yeah. So, I mean, I obviously kind of copped to how I felt about the twist as far as whether I enjoyed it or not. But spoiler-free thoughts for those who might pause the podcast and go watch this movie. Did you guys enjoy this twist? It sounds like you were shocked by it. Allison with a Y. Allison with an I, you were not really. But, like, did you guys enjoy it? Did it work for you?
I think the idea of it worked for me. And then the payoff did not work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. I don't dislike the idea at all. I think it was, there was something kind of clever about it, but the execution of it and like the culmination all at the end resulting from the twist. I don't know. I feel like it fell kind of, it just left me thinking what? More than anything else.
Felt like the end of white noise for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's, no. That's
Yeah, and I mean, this is where I would kind of want to bring it back to the Blacklist thing for a minute, because I think this is pretty well staged, just well directed. It's a first-time director. The guy's name is Samuel Bodin. And I think he does a pretty solid job staging this. Again, you know, I enjoyed the performances for the most part. But to me, like, the main flaw is just this weird-ass script that still, nonetheless, a lot of, you know, agents or movie execs or whatever were like, yeah, this is one of the best things I've read in a while. That's a little baffling to me, actually. But I will also throw in the fun fact that this writer, Chris Thomas Devlin, the other big thing on his resume is he wrote the 2022 Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot that was on Netflix, which we did do for the show at the time. And I thought it was a piece of fucking shitty hot garbage. Chris or Steven? One of those madmen called it like their favorite thing we watched for the podcast that year, which I thought was insane. But anyway,
that sounds like a Chris take.
Yeah, I think it was actually a Steven take.
No,
and he hated it when we reviewed it originally. I think he was trolling a little bit, but who knows?
Has to be.
Yeah, or maybe it was just a really bad year where there was nothing else that was that even that bad movie was the best of what he had seen for the podcast. But man, that was a turd. Did you see that? I know you didn't. Why?
I didn't. No, I don't think so. Yeah. I missed that one.
Well, keep it that way.
All right. Should we review this thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Allison with an I, what do you review it? View it, cue it, or screw it?
It's between a cue it and a screw it. I think the premise is cool. I think the acting was outstanding. And I think the third act was absolutely so ridiculous. And I kind of hated it. But I do think there's a place for it on our teenager list of spooky Halloween movies. I don't know. I don't know who am I recommending this to, our listeners? I don't know. I think it's kind of a screw it for me. This movie just kind of annoyed me. Sorry.
I love it when, like, you, and this is like the royal you, this is not like Allison with an I you, but like, I love when you're giving your review and like, you kind of settle on your rating as you review it. It's like, you start with a Q and then it's like, well, actually, you know, fucking, you know what? It was a screw it.
I've been thinking about it all day, how I wanted to rate this movie. But right now, it feels like a screw it to me. I was just, we'll get more, you know, again, more on that. But yeah, I'm going to settle on that. Why? What do you think? You picked it? You stand behind it? You love it?
I can't say I love it. It's definitely not a view it for me. I would give it a low cue it. I thought it had the mood. It had the mood throughout most of the movie that I want a lot of the times from a horror movie, which is like, this is creepy. What the fuck is going on? There's weird shit happening and we don't have any answers. And in my head, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Yeah. But I agree that the third act is really where it fell apart, which it makes me angry because it had a lot of good things going for it. But I liked so many elements enough. And I think it's, as long as you're not looking for a groundbreaking horror movie, it's fine to put on your cue. It's like a good thing to sort of just have on for spooky season. It's not going to rock your world. It might piss you off by the end a little bit, but there's enough of the vibes there to be kind of a decent casual spooky season watch. Patrick, what about you?
I agree with most of what you both said. It's kind of in between for me. I think, man, it's hard because, like, you know, kind of like we've been saying, like, a lot of the elements are there. You know, like you said, why? There's solid atmosphere. what I was preparing to dislike about it early on was I thought it was going to be very formulaic, very derivative. I was like, okay, like another like ghost kid in the wall that like the creepy bullied kid connects with, whatever. And then as we've said, it does not go there. Exactly. And so I guess props to it for that. I don't know. I'll go cue it because I got to give it some credit for just going absolutely wackadoodle. Not really in a way that I liked necessarily, but I'll give it credit for, I guess, just being audacious and taking some weird swings.
Bold choice.
Yeah. And I'll certainly give it credit for a lot of other stuff prior to that. It was just, I don't know. I'm so tempted to screw it, but I don't know. It's an odd curiosity. And if you're thinking about it, I'm not going to discourage you from watching this completely unhinged third act.
Yeah.
So cue it.
All right. We've got one screw it and two cue it's.
Yeah.
Are we in a spoiler basement again?
We're going spoiler to a wall. Fucking spoiler basement again.
No, spoiler wall.
Okay, spoiler wall.
Spoiler hole in the wall?
Spoiler hole in the wall.
Yeah. But before we go there.
Not that kind of hole in the wall. Sorry.
Define what kind of hole in the wall?
No.
Because we could be talking like a greasy spoon or something, or we could be talking to greasy something else.
Oh, God. Just plug the social media up.
Before we go to the spoiler hole in the wall, I'll remind you, as always, to visit our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com, where we've got a list of every movie we've ever reviewed. You can listen to all our episodes there and also check out the merch store where you can get shirts and coffee mugs and all kinds of other stuff with every horror movie on Netflix art on them.
And you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Blue Sky at Amoncast, E-H-M-O-N cast, or TikTok at Amon Podcast. And then you can also find the link to our Discord server in the show notes where you can join our discussions about what we've watched, what you've watched outside of the podcast, what you've been reading, all that good stuff.
And leave us a review, if you will, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We super duper appreciate it.
All right. Let's go into the spoiler hole in the wall. We'll see you there. And welcome back to the spoiler hole in the wall. We've peeled up the wallpaper to find a creepy little hole in the wall. And ooh, what's in there?
It's a weird fucking hair monster that crawls like a spider.
It's Peter's sister. And both of those statements are true.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Somehow.
That is the perfect way to sum it up.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Peter's got a sister.
Yeah.
Who was born a monster.
Yeah.
And she looks like, did you guys watch Mama?
No, but so many people made that comparison on Reddit when talking about this movie.
Because it looks like the mama in Mama. It's like spindly. I could never quite. It feels like it has more than four limbs. It probably doesn't because it is technically human, but it moves like a spider.
But before we find out that it's like some freaky mutated spider child, she convinces Peter that like, hey, like I'm your sister, and mom and dad stuck me back in here. I can't remember the reasoning. Why? Because they didn't like her.
She was horrific.
She was, but I don't think that's what she told him.
Because she killed the kid on Halloween.
Right. But yeah. But she told Peter that the parents killed the kid on Halloween. So she convinces Peter to kill the fucking parents because she's like, Peter, they're just going to do this to you too. They're going to stick you. They're going to stick you in the wall as well if you don't kill them and escape.
To be fair, they locked him in the basement with a chain on his ankle.
Plausible.
So this whole time we're thinking these parents are the villains. They
gotta
go.
And they still kind of are.
I mean, they still are.
They're the worst.
Their child who needed help in the walls of their home.
Forbade him from going to school, asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, here comes sister saying that they're the enemy. Agreed.
Yes, they are. And then, and yet there is also an even greater evil in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't find that out until after Peter kills his parents.
Which is saying something also because the parents are pretty evil.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily have a lot of sympathy for them because their life choices were shitty and they did shitty things. But, the point that I was like, what? This is not going where I expected it to go is when Peter poisons them.
Yeah. Yeah. The patricide / matricide, kind of awesome scene, actually.
Yeah.
Very well executed.
Awesome scene.
Another thing where I don't know if I quite agree with the writing choice, but they're all sitting around the table eating the most disgusting fucking soup you've ever seen. Like, it looks like gruel. It looks like somebody, like, ground up. I don't even know what
I think
it
was meant to be
like mud.
Split pea soup.
Yeah, or some kind of bean soup.
It's grayish brown. It's disgusting. It looks slightly chunky. And Anthony Starr's like, this tastes a little different. The soup tastes a little different. Because at first I was like, okay, really? This does not look like normal soup. And I was like, oh, thank God, they're actually calling attention to the soup being weird. He's like, it tastes like cinnamon. And earlier in the movie, he helped Peter put out rat poison because there were rats in the house. Or that was what they told him.
That was their cover story for the sister.
Yeah. Right. So they put out rat poison, and earlier they've mentioned how the rat poison smells like cinnamon. And then they just start vomiting black goo everywhere.
Oof.
Trope. I have to say, this whole movie was fucking trope-a-thon. I was so over just the tropiness of it. I couldn't. And it started with the black goo. I did love that scene. I did. But they pulled out everything you've ever heard of in horror movie tropes.
Do you mean like the vomiting black goo specifically was the trope you're referring
to? Yeah. The spider walking, the long hair, the like.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it. This is unoriginal. For how good the script could have been, it was just packed with so much, just garbage filler, I think.
And I appreciate the staging of this soup scene. Like, it's well played, well directed. But it's such an outrageous choice from the writer's perspective to have this kid, who seems like a good kid, honestly, just go, oh, the only thing I can do right now, because the voice in the wall told me to, is kill my parents by poisoning them.
Like not trying anything else before that.
Well, right. No, but he did. He did. And honestly, I am not for killing your family. Just let the record show that. But I was like, good for him, because they had him totally isolated.
Yeah.
He tried to call the teacher. His mom caught him. He asked for help with his drawing. They threw him in the basement. Now he's not allowed to go to school anymore. I can't tell you at how many times during this movie I was like, no one has called the police. Not an adult, not a teacher, not him. He didn't run anywhere. He didn't try anything. But he did within reason. But he resorted to killing his parents, which was fucking crazy.
It was wild. That was the point of the movie that I was like, oh, shit. Okay, that means the thing in the wall is like the real fucking villain. Not that they weren't villains, as we've already established. But there's a greater villain at hand. And why are they keeping it in the wall?
His mom with her dying breath said, you can never let her out. And that's where the twist is, right? It's like, oh, no, he's been bamboozled.
You're like, shit. And that's immediately when I'm like, they didn't kill the trick-or-treater.
And then he immediately marches to the secret door to let her out.
Which, like, what the fuck?
And this, the girl on the wall, Sarah, has had his sister has had like a little girl voice whenever he talks to her. And then as soon as she gets out, she has like adult husky.
She has this deep sort of creepy voice like this.
It's deep,
like,
deep.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's like growly.
And yeah.
It's like, wait, how you weren't that much older than Peter.
Right. How, like, old are you?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Why do you look like this? How do you look like this? I don't know. It's just, and I mean, I always say I don't necessarily love when a movie explains every fucking thing to you. But man, you got to explain to me how your daughter that you've been hiding in the basement and has somehow gotten up into the fucking wall. Like, a wall does not have a lot of space in it. Mm-hmm. You know,
she said she was down there so long she learned to climb and scratch. But I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. I'm going to skip over some stuff, but for a mutant creature spider girl who can rip the heads off of people with her bare hands yeah. and climb up walls, you mean to tell me that a grandfather clock behind some like 1903 plaster is going to keep her in the wall?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of plot holes for me.
Well, and also she's been kept fundamentally locked in a cage in like a pit in the basement.
Yeah.
But also somehow got up into the walls from there? I don't know. There's a lot about the logistics of this spider girl that don't check out for me.
I just think it would have been more effective if she had just been kind of like a normal, creepy, sociopathic child.
Yes.
Or a ghost.
Or a ghost, right.
Give me fucking Orphan.
Like, I don't yes. need a weird spider mutant kid to be creeped out by, because that, it really just like takes me out of it.
Yes. It's such a weird choice.
So fucking weird. So and she weird. She had like the smile of a fucking Cheshire cat.
Yeah.
They showed her too much. That was another thing. It was like, agreed. I need to see far less of this thing to feel threatened by it or to feel anything about it. It just was comical. It was like, it became comical to me.
Like, I agree with you on that, but I also have the exact opposite opinion if those two things can exist. Sure. Because I kept being like, what is this? Especially early on, it's like, what am I looking at here? Mm-hmm. Like, give me a wide shot or a close, or I don't know, something where it's more than just like a quick skitter of legs across the screen. I don't know. It is odd because like I wanted more to understand what I was looking at. But then also when I did get brief glimpses of it, I was like, what? Why? Like, I don't know. It was, there's no way this works. Like that's why you feel that way. And I agree, but also disagree, is because this concept just doesn't work. It's just not going to work no matter how you do it. Like, if you don't show it, if you do show it, it's a fool's errand.
And does she have long dark hair or long blonde hair? Because there's two different kinds of scary hair. Which is it? Is it like ring hair or like, I mean, for the most of the last couple of shots, she's got this long kind of blonde hair that they use to like pull her down back into hell's wherever. Yeah. But
that's true.
There was just continuity stuff. And even the smile in her face from one scene, she was the Cheshire Cat. The next scene when he's under the bed and she like gets in front of him, she's got like more of a normal childlike face that's like deformed. It was too much.
It was weird.
It's so odd. And I mean, you know, again, going back to the screenplay thing, I almost wonder if there's like more context for this in the screenplay that's either in the dialogue in the text that got cut, or maybe just context that's in like the scene description that wouldn't be spoken dialogue, but that the director failed to kind of convey from the script. But I don't know. Again, I keep going back to the Blacklist thing. I'm a little baffled how you read this and go, yeah, Spider Girl on the walls. This is one of the best things I've read in a while.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. The ending pissed me the fuck off.
Yes, which is Miss Devine finally shows back up to the house.
Right. That's fine.
Helps Peter lock Sarah in the basement.
And then Sarah, there's just like this weird voiceover where Sarah's just like, wherever you go, you'll
always be thinking that I'm around the corner. You never escape me. It's like they could just call the fucking police and be like, hey, my parents kept this weird, my weird mutated sister in here, and she killed my parents and all of these people, and they could take her. Right. End of story.
And like, right, or literally you could just move and you're not going to right. be there. Yeah. Because you're not a ghost or an entity. You're a physical person.
Right, yeah. It's like flipping the script back to like what our original expectation of this was, which is that she is a supernatural entity, which she's not.
Right,
yeah.
She's a mutated, fucked up kid.
It's like, what are you going to do? You are going to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm sure like Miss Divine, like she's got to have enough sense to her to be like, yeah, we're fucking calling the cops.
Mm-hmm. There's like 7 dead people in this house. Many of them students. Like,
yes. Right.
This is getting investigated one way or another.
Yeah.
See, now you guys know why I screwed it.
I get it.
Well, and yet I stick by my cue because this is such a weird fucking third act that, again, like if you listen to the first half of the episode today and we're like, huh, what are these guys talking about? Where could this possibly go? I'm like, yeah, go watch it. Like, I need people to experience this and have their minds blown a little bit, even though I didn't like it. It, you know, again, just points for the absolute audacity.
So much audacity.
You know what it reminded me of a tiny bit was, but I loved this movie, was the end of Babadook. And my mom is a fellow horror movie lover who's just started listening to our podcast, by the way. Hi, Mom.
Oh, cute.
Thanks for listening.
Hi, Allison with an I's, Mom.
Paula. Her name's Paula.
Hi, Paula.
She loved the Babadook and then she hated the third act. So then she says that movie sucked, which I thought the Babadook was a masterpiece. I love that movie. Love it. Mm-hmm. I get where somebody could have been like, it could have lost somebody a little bit in that third act where, you know, they have to lock him up or whatever. But I thought, I don't know what else you would do that. And I thought it was brilliant. This reminded me a little bit of that. It just in that, I don't know. Did you guys get Babadook vibes at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but certainly, like, tonally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spooky-ooky family shit going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The end of this just felt like they went, well, we don't know what to do, so fucking let's just do all this shit.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, as you alluded to before, about students being in the house, the big kind of climactic sequence is Peter's school bully and 3 or 4 of his dumb fucking family members / friends show up to, like, fuck Peter up, which, I mean, also makes no sense. Like, you're not going to go to your like, bullying victim's house where you assume anyone would think his parents are there and are going to be like, hey, what are you doing? Like, get away from my fucking house. Like,
we're
you
here save to kick the bullying. Your son's ass. All right, come on in.
Right. Like, you save the bullying for school. You don't go to the kid's house. Anyways, they, like, break into the house and are vandalizing the fuck out of the house, which also makes no sense.
No.
Like, again, bully at school.
No reason they would have had to think that the parents had been dead.
Yeah.
Like, no reason.
And Sarah, you know, fucks them all up.
Yeah.
Which feels like padding to me at that point.
Yep.
It's like, why? This really isn't accomplishing anything. Other than, like, I don't know. I guess they're showing off what they think is their cool monster. I don't know. It was odd. It's just really, really odd.
And if you're Sarah, wouldn't you rather get out of the house and like go try to experience some of the world instead of just like, I'm not trying to like get in the mind of this monstrous thing, but I don't know. That's your whole goal is just to kill everyone that's quote unquote living a normal life. Like, cool story.
So I do have an answer for that. Her top goal is taking revenge on Peter because she's pissed at Peter for like getting to live a normal life. So now that she's gotten him to kill the parents so that she can get out, she wants to get to him next. So I think it's like him and then the rest of the world.
Yeah. I suppose.
But yes, you would think she'd want to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And not kill an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Cobweb. Oh, which also fucking odd name. Odd name for the movie, too.
Yeah.
There's nothing cobwebby about
There's
this,
no cobwebs.
Really, other
they
than
capture
that she's
a spider.
A spider.
Right. And they throw a, they put a spider outside, Miss Devine and Peter.
And Sarah says the word cobweb at one point.
Right.
Yeah. Weird choice for a title.
Yeah.
Weird choice for a third act.
Weird. Yeah. A lot of weird choices made.
Somebody on Reddit, and I don't have a lot more to say after this, but said it's one of those movies that doesn't really work as a full length project, but probably would have torn it up as an episode of Tales from the Crypt or another anthology series.
Yes. Totally. Yes, sure. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, like, and again, it's a tone thing. You know, if you established a little more of like a goofy slash campy tone, sure, fucking Spider Girl on the wall. But everything mm-hmm. prior to this, for the most part, is played pretty straight. You know, we talked about Lizzie Kaplan's character seeing like, you know, a little bit heightened reality with like the slight transatlantic accent mm-hmm. and these kind of little touches. But that's about as far as it goes into feeling like, having that campy tone. I don't know. There, like, tone could fix this.
Yeah.
A complete tonal shift could fix this.
Because most of it feels pretty grounded in reality.
Yes, yes. Like, I would be down for sort of the silly version of this, where it's, you know, saying, yeah, this is ridiculous, and you're supposed to think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank God it was only like an hour and 28 minutes, because any
God,
longer than that, I would have been pissed.
Yep.
What do we got next week?
I think horror catch-up, right?
It is horror catch-up.
We gotta find some bangers this month, guys.
We do.
We'll try to bring y'all some bangers.
We're not off to a good start.
No, sorry, guys.
Well, it was theme. It was Halloween-y, so thanks for that. Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't intentional, but I'll take it.
I mean, look, it's one of those ones where, like, I'm glad I watched it, actually, just because it was so weird. It's actually one of the stranger things that I've seen in the Amon journey.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for Cobweb. Please check out our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. There is links to the episodes as well as merch. Maybe someday we'll get you new merch, new, fresh, exciting merch, because Patrick's quite the artist.
I'm working on it. It's on my blacklist.
And you can also check us out.
I've got a master list of the best unproduced t-shirts that I've designed in my head.
And you can also check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube at Amoncast, EHMONcast, and TikTok, Amon Podcast. Plus, you can join our Discord. The link is in the show notes, and chat with us about Cobweb if you've also watched it and rage about the spider mutant child. And then review us on any platform you listen to your podcasts on. Give us a good review. Don't give us a screw it. That's rude. Don't use our words against us. And for every horror movie on Netflix, I have been Allison with Y.
I'm Patrick.
And Allison with an I.
Stay spooky, folks.